This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Go Wild is a free social community created for and by hunters. This means that unlike mainstream social media, your trophy pictures won't be censored. They're encouraged. As you spend time on Go Wild, you will earn awesome rewards such as gift cards, free swag, and big discounts on brands like Garmin and Vortex. You will even earn $10 just for signing up. Visit downloadgowild.com and sign up today. HuntStand is the most popular and functional mobile hunting app on the market. With a variety of base maps to choose from, satellite imagery that is updated every month, the ability to check the weather, know property information, and even catalog your trail cam pics, HuntStand even gives you the ability to import pins and location markers from other mobile apps. Visit HuntStand.com or download wherever you download your apps. Enter discount code SN20 at checkout for 20% off.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Southern Ground Hunting Podcast, where you're going to hear a valuable hunting-based conversation that's tailored for us Southern folk. If you love what we do and would like to support Southern Ground Hunting, you can visit patreon.com/Southern Ground Hunting, or you can click on the link in the show notes below. We'd love for you to join the Southern Ground Hunting community today. Again, that's patreon.com/Southern Ground Hunting. You can also support us by leaving us a rating and review on iTunes. It helps more than you know, and we greatly appreciate it. And now, let's get to the show. All right, I am super jacked up about this episode today, and I have been ever since I heard about this thing that's going on called the Tagged Out Tour that our buddies at Tethered are putting on. And actually Greg Godfrey, who's one of the owners of Tethered, been on the show several times, he called me and you know, we were talking about some stuff or whatever, and it came up. And number one, the first thing, I was jealous. I was extremely jealous, as are probably most, I guess I'm middle-aged, young adult, middle-aged people. People with responsibilities are probably jealous of what's going on here. But basically, they took a bunch of young dudes, a bunch of Gen Zers, and said, hey, go hunt all season with no responsibility. And also, here's a crappy bus that you're going to have to drive around the country. Just a really cool idea. Matt, I think I told you whenever I first heard about it, I was like, dude, this is going to be like one of the coolest things on YouTube.
Man, it has me on the edge of my seat every time I see a story, an episode. And I feel like they got the right five guys doing this. And it's just a great, I'm only 27, so I'm, you know, kind of close to their age. And I'd love to do it. I'd love to be 19, 20 years old, traveling the country. That's a dream right there.
Luke, do you think that there was, like, as a married man, you've got a brand new baby girl. Do you think that there is any way that you would be able to do something like that now?
Dude, that is funny that you say that, because I was on my way home from work today thinking about this, and I was like, what would I have to do? How much money would I have to spend? What kind of trip would I have to take Sadie on in order for me to do something like that? I'm going to be honest, there is no way in hell that she would let that happen. She'd be like, absolutely not.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too, man. Like it's hard enough to get away for like 3 or 4 days, let alone 100 days. So we're super excited to have these dudes here. They're living the dream, doing what we all wish we could have done when we were 19, 20 years old, and doing a heck of a job at it. So Tagged Out, fellas, how you guys doing?
Doing great. Doing good.
Pretty
good so far.
Fantastic. It is so good to hear from you guys. I know a lot of listeners are really excited about hearing some of y'all's experiences, and really we're just most listener. I would be surprised if the like listenership isn't mostly like 30 to 45 year old men, like probably on analytics on the viewership of y'all's YouTube videos. It's probably like 30 to 45 year old men living vicariously through you. So,
yes, so absolutely.
Before we go too far, I know there's a lot of guys right here that are on this episode. So why don't y'all just kind of go around the bus and go around the converted couch table and tell us your name and where you're from.
Alrighty, yeah. My name is Dallas Kimenaugh, and I am from Nebraska. I'm the only non-Southern boy on this trip.
It's arguable, but go ahead.
Yeah, so I don't know which one of you guys said you're 27, but I'm not far behind. I'm actually 26. These kids all call me dad. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, that was me, Dallas. That was Matthew, Dallas. Yeah, that's you can be their papa or something.
Yeah.
Papa D.
I literally just about to say Papa D.
There we go. Maybe not.
That's a little too Southern for your Northern blood, man.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, I'm 26 and come from Nebraska, and I don't know how I got chosen to be here, but it sure is a blessing.
26 years old. Are you married?
I am not. I am single as they come, no kids. my full-time gig, I work for my folks at a livestock auction in Nebraska, so... I wouldn't say it was easy to take the time off, but it's more doable than going to work for somebody else, you know?
Yeah.
So made arrangements, and my bosses, who happen to be mom and dad, are just as ecstatic as I am to be on this trip. So
that's awesome, man.
So it worked out.
Well, Dallas, we're glad you're here.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
All righty. So my name's Cole Mitchell. I'm from the North-South, as we just discussed a second ago. I mean, we still have accents, and still kind of eat fried food there. So, like, I would say it's credible as being the South. But, yeah, I'm 19 years old from Boone County, West Virginia. I've had a blast. I'd say my route to getting on the tour was a little different from everybody else's. It was actually pretty last minute. Jared Schaefer, he was looking for a final, like, personality to get on tour, and it couldn't seem like they could find the right person, and they had these four boys already lined up, and they actually reached out to me and asked if I wanted to be part of it, and of course I said yes. It was pretty awesome. I will say I was a tad bit nervous going into it, so I didn't know what the other guys was going to be like, and I didn't know what to expect. But as we've kind of, I feel like honestly, I don't want to jinx it and say this, we pretty well got, I would say, a majority of bumps out of the road in the first couple weeks. I mean, it's definitely like I had one of my guys back home tell me this is like our college years for the most part. And we have to live on a mobile campus with only four of us or five of us and try and get along with each other. And there's no women. So, it is
only college.
I'd say maybe a good thing is just save your money.
Well, save your money, but testosterone levels are an all-time high, and I will say we have somehow managed to not get in any fist fights yet.
That's one of the things I was pretty curious about is like the bus drama. So it's good to hear that there's not enough bus drama content that we're going to see, at least right now. Maybe day 50 or so, it might start getting a little bit crazy.
Definitely been bus drama.
There definitely has.
It's just nothing really good enough for the YouTube, I guess. So
yeah, we haven't got any good like hang on film yet. So we're
man
until then. Yeah,
crap.
But unsubscribe.
I mean, 100 days on a bus with five guys, there's going to be a little drama.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're all going to hate each other, love each other at the same time at the end of it.
Yeah. So that's me. And now on to the next guy.
Yeah. So my name is Grayson Kowalik. I am from Northeast Texas. Kind of same situation as Dallas. I don't really know how I got here, but I know I'm blessed to be here. Kind of made my application super late, but ended up being here. So I don't even know what to say. I'm here and I'm happy. I'm a hunter here in Georgia, and me and Dallas have been kicking away, grinding at it, and things have been happening. I won't say a lot of deer have been happening, but things have been happening.
Other things.
Well, it was our first good encounter.
Without giving too much away for the video.
We'll say.
He saw a big buck. We're just going to say that.
Okay, well, we'll say that. I saw a big buck.
Yeah.
That's good. Nice. Seeing a big buck is like, I'm not going to say that's it's half the battle, but it's a good majority of the battle.
This time of the year, especially.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. What's up, guys? Caden Starnes here from Central Mississippi. I'm 20 years old and as happy as a I don't know.
Which one?
Head on the trailer. Yeah. Bar.
To get to be doing this. I think we got an awesome group of guys here. At first, I was a little nervous about meeting everybody and how they were going to turn out, but it's been pretty fun so far.
That's
getting
cool.
To see some deer and living the dream.
That's awesome, man. It's I got to spend a decent amount of time with you in Mississippi last year on that late season deer hunt. And man, I gotta say, if I had to choose the bus that y'all are in versus the tent that we were in the cold weather that we were in, I'd probably be choosing the bus. Like,
oh, I'd be choosing the bus. It was freezing.
Dude, I remember waking up. I think it was you. You were, like, in a puddle of water. There's like a puddle of water.
Yeah.
Got in the, he's sleeping on the ground in a sleeping bag, just like in a puddle of water, like 20 degrees outside.
Yep.
That's awesome. So, Caden, man, glad you're part. And then I believe we have one more, right?
Yep. I'm Josh Spoonberger. I am from Pensacola, Florida, down there by the Gulf of Mexico. I do a lot of fishing, do some public land hunting up in Florida. Not the best hunting, but yeah, I got on this. I was an intern last year, and Greg and Kate and I and good old Kurt, we're just messing around, joking how we should send a bunch of young dudes hunting that the old guys, they can just sit back and, you know, hunt over corn or something like that and just let us
hunt over corn. Let the old guys hunt over corn, do something dumb like that.
To clarify, it is legal to hunt over corn in Georgia.
This
just
is true.
Putting that out there.
Yes.
I'm 100% kidding. I grew up doing that. I mean, down south, that's just kind of what you do. No, but seriously, we're just joking around, and as the time went on, you know, plans, they got...
That's awesome.
Plans got made. All of a sudden, we're like, man, you're going up to right outside of Nashville. You're going to meet the guys, and you're going to see this piece of garbage bus. But you know, we met each other and we started working on this bus and made it not too bad. But yeah, just really blessed to be here, like everybody was saying. And it's been an interesting few weeks. A lot of character development has taken place. But yeah, it's good, and I'm excited for the I'm excited for the rest of it. I really am. I'm ready for rut. I'm ready for the cool weather. It's a lot here in Georgia, as y'all know.
Oh yeah, it's not very fun.
Oh, it's a blast.
Oh, it's fun.
No, it's a blast. You gotta make your own fun.
It's just,
or something like this.
Agreed. Just dripping wet, sweaty fun.
Yeah, the sweat is what I was going to say is not fun.
Weird. Yeah.
Sweat equity. That's
your sack sticks to your leg. You know what I'm saying?
Not even got them game bags. I'm telling you.
It's worth money. Our buddy Mark Kenyon calls what y'all are doing, he calls it type 2 fun, and I've kind of stolen that from him, and I say it all the time, especially on these early season hunts, man. It's like you go out. The best example I have is Tennessee Velvet Hunt, because it's August, and it's just miserable, man. You literally feel like a walking hot bar for mosquitoes, because you're going to sweat your nuts off, walk into your spot, and then the mosquitoes are going to swarm you, and you're just like, you're just a hot meal. That's all you are. And then you're probably not going to see any deer. And it's pretty typical for those early season hunts. And that's doing it, you know, 3 or 4, maybe a week long trip, 3 or 4 days to a week long trip that we did in Kentucky. And you guys are doing it like for weeks. Like it's not any of this just like what we do. I go in and like 3 days later, Matt, I know you feel me on this. 3 days after we start, it's like, man, I can't wait to go home and watch Netflix in the air conditioning. Yes. And you boys
not
are doing
because it. You got poison oak 30 minutes into hunting and can't see anything because your eyeballs are swollen shut.
That's also true. Has anybody there had to deal with poison ivy?
Oh, don't be saying that.
Just
saying that.
Greg got it you like said?
Greg, oh, gosh. It looked like Greg got punched in his eyeball by himself. Like, it was bad.
It was worth it, though, because we were driving out 150.
That
so.
Is true.
150.
Yeah, I was about to say, it was worth it.
Was he that big?
Yeah.
He, I'm telling you, until you see it in person, it was the most deceiving deer I've ever seen. His body was so big. It made his rack look small, but like Caden was sitting there with me whenever I was taking it out, and its main frame 8-point score was 135. What he would have grossed main frame 8, and then he had 7 extra points.
My
wow!
Goodness.
So,
all right,
that's awesome. Man.
So that's
7 extra points being 15 inches extras.
That's Nebraska, okay? This is a video
Nebraska, yeah.
We've all seen it. Yeah. I imagine a lot of people listening to this have seen the video. You guys struggled in Nebraska, right? Like, let's not just try to sugarcoat this and be like, oh, yeah, we killed a 150 in Nebraska.
It was a struggle for the majority of time. We're in Nebraska longer than we were as any other state, though, too. So it was kind of a little extra struggle, I would say. We saw up until that day when we killed that buck. I'm going to say in the field, we laid eyes on maybe 5 bucks, including spikes.
Wow.
That's including.
Amazing.
So.
Yeah, maybe 5 bucks.
As far as just deer movement, like does and bucks included, were y'all seeing a lot of does, or was it just pretty much?
Honestly, it wasn't that bad. It really wasn't that bad. I'll let the other boys talk on it, but like we saw definitely more deer movement in Nebraska than we did Kentucky.
Yeah, I'd say so far in Nebraska has probably been the most deer movement we've seen. They were kind of hard to pattern. There was so much ag, like so many beans, so much corn.
And the food.
Yeah, we thought like our first game plan was like find water and hunt it, and we tried doing that, but there ended up being it was weird. It was dry, but there was plenty of water.
Yeah.
So, we tried everything in the book. We tried hunting acorns, all kinds of stuff. We had a couple spots where we like glassed up quite a few deer, mostly does from far away, but like I said, that was like between 200 and 500 yards off. Stuff we couldn't really we tried to put a stalk on a few things, but just didn't really connect. But yeah, it was like almost 2 weeks in Nebraska, and it was a serious grind, but it was probably the most fun I've ever had. So
that's cool, man. That it looked like. It's hard to tell in a video, right? Matt, you've been doing video for a while. Luke, you started doing video last year. It's hard to really show and know, like, as a viewer, it's hard to know the actual grind, right, that's actually happening because you're trying to fit it all in a 15-minute video.
15-minute video, sure. You show a teal. Hey, here we are. This is what we did. We came in here. We scouted this. We hung a stand. Hey, we killed a buck, you know.
Yeah.
Hey,
sure.
we found this random stand up in the woods, and we just climbed in and killed a buck.
Yeah, no, there was definitely a lot more struggle went on than what was shown. I mean, exactly. They just kind of got the highlights even. I wouldn't even consider it the highlights of the suckiness. I mean, it's the mental side is what you can't portray over a video very well unless you've just got a shot of somebody breaking down in tears or something.
Yeah, but, and nobody can truly tell you the pain of getting seed ticks all over your legs as somebody who has had seed ticks all over their legs.
All over our entire body.
Yeah.
Me and Grayson was like, we was covered. We was 400 plus of them apiece.
That night, I'm telling you, when we stayed up till 2 in the morning in the shower house picking ticks off, like seriously, we were what, like 8 days into the tour? Serious contemplation of like, I'm done, I'm gonna go home.
Yeah. That was your turning point.
It was definitely a check yourself on how serious you were going to take.
So we went to the store and bought loads and loads of permethrin, and we are soaked up now.
Y'all didn't get permethrin beforehand?
That's what I was gonna ask. Oh man.
I didn't even know like permethrin was a thing. Like, I hunt Northeast Texas, and if anyone listening is from Northeast Texas and they have encountered sea ticks, then like tell me, because I have hunted, like I have been out in all kinds of summer brush and everything in East Northeast Texas, and I have never encountered anything like that before. I might get the occasional big tick on me, but holy crap, that was awful.
Hey guys, as most of you know, censorship for hunters and anglers is completely out of control. So we've partnered with the social media platform Go Wild to combat the mainstream social media censorship. Go Wild was built by outdoorsmen and women just like you. Go Wild is a free social community. Not only are your photos not censored, they're actually encouraged on Go Wild. They give you points for things like sharing your trophies, gear reviews, and inviting other friends. As you earn points, you unlock awesome rewards too. like gift cards, free stuff like knives, huge discounts on brands like Garmin and Vortex, and so much more. And if you create a free account, you can unlock $10 just for trying it out. Visit GoWild.com to get started. 6-Day Grind Coffee Co. is made for people like you, the ones out there grinding to reach your goals every single day. Whether it's the 3 a.m. wake-up calls to get into the woods or just getting through your workday, a good cup of high-quality coffee to start your day is imperative. When you buy from 6-Day Grind, you not only get a great bag of premium roasted coffee, you also have the opportunity to support conservation through their Coffee for Your Cause program, where 10% of your purchase goes to the conservation organization of your choice. Check out 6daygrindcoffeeco.com today. That's the word 6, followed by daygrindcoffeeco.com. I see what happened here. Dallas used this. This was like, he did it on purpose. He didn't tell you guys about seed ticks. He knew about them. I know he did. He's from Nebraska. And he didn't tell you guys about it. There's going to be a scene somewhere later on where Dallas is like, you know, guys, you know, I didn't tell him about the seed ticks. And I really feel like that was my changing moment. That was like the day that the game changed in my favor.
Dallas, like an episode of Survivor.
Yeah.
Hey, it all changed is when two of the guys died from Lyme disease.
Like somebody breeding ticks on the bus, making sure that everybody gets bit.
That's roaches. Yeah, that we have had a slight roach problem on the bus.
Are they the little ones or the big ones?
They're big enough to bum a cigarette off.
where did the bus come from? Definitely fake Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, I guarantee it. Ernie somehow found it. It was outside Atlanta, which is kind of ironic because apparently it wasn't too far from where we are. But yeah, it used to be used for NASCAR, and it had a deck running the whole way, and it was the party bus. But with the cheetah print and all these bunks, we just kind of, you know.
How many poles did y'all have down?
I left them all up, Matt. Come on now.
That deck Josh was talking about was like the entire, it was a dance floor on top almost. Like you could, I mean, they park it in the infield of a car thing. So I ain't never been to a NASCAR race because we don't have any tracks up other than dirt tracks back home. But I'm imagining.
Because it's not the South.
It gets pretty wild.
It's wild. Yes, sir.
It's not the South. But, you don't got NASCAR. If you don't have NASCAR, then it's not the South. There, we just figured it out.
That's where it's originated. Hey. Do you know, let's run a little pop quiz trivia time. Do you know why NASCAR was made? How it came to be?
Say that one more time. You broke up just a little bit.
Do you know the origin story of NASCAR?
I don't.
It came to be?
I really don't.
So all these moonshine runners got together. So back in the day, if you was a moonshine runner, you had your vehicle and you was whooping it around, you know, just kind of like the Dukes of Hazzard movie almost, okay? And they got together and they're like, hey, I can drive faster than you can and make left turns better than you can. And then NASCAR came to be. But here's the thing. I think it originated around North Carolina, like Charlotte area is where it like kind of came up. It's where like Dale Earnhardt from that area, somewhere in there. I don't know. But moonshine originated at Hatfield McCoy's in southern West Virginia and eastern Kentucky. So, yeah, take that, Parker. I am from the South.
You sound like you're from the South. We'll give you that. You got more of a Southern accent than any of us. So,
yeah.
And I got the thing earlier when Grayson was talking. You could really know if somebody's from the South if they say acorns or acorns.
Acorns.
Yeah.
No, it's acorns.
You know, Nebraska right there.
Yeah.
It's acorns. When you go to the store, you don't get a buggy. You get a shopping cart.
Nope.
And what you eat after work in the evening is supper. There, it's settled. No argument.
I do say supper.
I'll agree. I'll agree with supper.
I got you on that one. But
we can run down a rabbit hole with that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm from Texas, but I still say acorns, and I don't know if I always said acorns or if there was a time in my life that I did say acorns, but I would like to slap the guy that I was if I did say acorns because it just doesn't sound right. It just, it's too hard to say.
Rolls off your tongue.
Acorn. That just comes out better. Anyway, so Nebraska was hard. The bus sucks. West Virginia is kind of south. You guys shot a big buck. Yeah. We were talking about the score of this buck. It was a 150,
yeah.
Which was amazing to hear. In my mind, I mean, obviously he's a big, giant deer, but just watching the video, it really doesn't do it justice on that. I'm curious to know which of you guys had – so y'all are all kind of producing this whole thing yourself. You're filming and editing. Which one of you guys or who of you actually had experience with video editing?
I did a little bit on my, so I self-taught on my own.
Yeah. Same for me. I self-taught, editing, not great editing. Just good enough.
And as well for me, I was self-taught editing on Final Cut though. And all these boys use Adobe. So that's been interesting trying to make the hop there. But I mean, I had two guys back home. Thankfully, Kirk Price from the Untamed, he's like my neighbor, so he helped me out a little bit while I was trying to learn it. And but other than that, just trial and error type stuff, which I'd only ever edited like two videos for this. And I think, Josh, you said you've done stuff.
Yeah, Greg said one of the stipulations was you couldn't be married and you had to know how to edit. And so from that day on, I knew I had to learn how to edit. So I
got to get married.
Ooh, wow, that was a good one. Oh man. I got a Dobro Premier, and I went on a Missouri hunt last year and had some footage, tried self filming. And I just started editing that, just piecing it together. Obviously it wasn't very good because I ended up with an hour and 30 minutes of footage, so I, you know, that didn't work out. But I was able to learn, and John Gibbs, he's like an editing master, and we started working on it, and he'd basically tell us what we need to, fix and what was good. And then we just, went from there. I got to do the first, or I guess the second video, which was the scouting video in Nebraska. So I was kind of the test dummy, big part on the dummy for that. And I mean, it worked out pretty good. All those shortcuts were greatly used. And by the end, I was able to efficiently, put out content. So good help, very good support structure in the editing department, which I mean Dallas is the only other person that has got to finish a full episode, so I imagine he'd probably say the same.
I will say that on the editing front, I got pretty lucky on being brought onto this store, because I'll be honest, I downloaded Premiere Pro to my computer about 2 weeks before we started this store. Yeah, I've been doing as much as I can, self-teaching, and these guys have been super helpful. And I know John is, I've been trying to absorb everything he says. He's been super helpful. So yeah, I've still got a lot to learn, but I'm just kind of rapid fire, teach myself everything. So
you guys, y'all are in a interesting situation, because a lot of us, we learned how to edit. Especially a lot of hunters, you learn how to edit your own footage. It's a lot easier. Me and Matt were just talking about this earlier today, because we're kind of getting into this where Matt's going to be editing. We hunted together in Kentucky. Matt's editing one of the videos for it and adding all my footage into the video. And so, Matt, you know this as well as I do. Like, it's hard to learn how to edit in general, but then editing somebody else's footage is like, that just takes it up to a whole new level. So you guys are kind of starting on a, if that's how you're learning the majority of your editing, man, you guys are going to be able to crush it after a season of doing this.
Oh yeah. They'll jive together, Parker. I think me and you both have our different styles, but it's similar styles, but it seems like they're all learning from the same people and gelling together everything they do. So that'll make, the videos are great right now that I've seen that have come out, but just imagine, episode after episode, as they learn more together, know that, hey, he shot this because he wanted to edit it like this, stuff like that. And that's a whole nother media episode you could have on editing, but yeah, see it.
So is there ever a time that you guys are having to self film, or is it pretty much you have a camera guy with you every moment of the day?
I don't know. We might have to end up self filming for the next place we might be going, but it's a little sketch, but you know, that's something y'all might have to figure out as it goes. But for the most part, no, we have a cameraman.
What are you trying to get out there?
Yeah, what is that? In the area we might be going.
As in, like, in the state or next state?
Oh. No, in this state.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Caden, I might be here.
I was like, I don't think
so. Oh, okay.
It took him a second. It's kind of hard because I can't say
where we're at or what we're doing, but.
But. Yeah, it's going to be a little sketchy, possibly.
To answer the question, no, we always have a cameraman with you, Hunter.
What a freaking cliffhanger, man. Like,
this is rough.
Like, I'm like, what the crap?
Tune into the next episode to find out.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That's awesome.
Just a little shameless plug right there.
So,
yeah.
So, you went to Nebraska, you went to Kentucky. Let's talk about Kentucky for just a minute. Kentucky also was hard, correct?
Yes. Kentucky was very hard. I put Cole through some very difficult scouting missions.
And morning hunts. I don't know if we saw a deer. We was getting up at 4:30 in the morning too, which, hey, albeit Caden is a very determined young man when it comes to deer. Forgive him that.
Caden, listen, you guys need to watch out for Caden because he's a silent, you know those silent but deadly farts? Caden is a silent but deadly fart. He ain't going to say much. He's going to sit back in the corner and he's going to listen to everybody else act a fool and he's going to be like,
bring your tears.
Yep.
Do we know the same Caden?
Yeah. I will say Caden can once he warms up, he gets a little bit more out there, but I think just watching Caden through the, like, whenever we went to Kentucky last year, he was an intern. Caden, you probably remember this. You were in bed pretty early, like every night. Like, everybody else was staying up and eating. It's like, where's Caden in Big Country? You guys were out, like, quick almost every single night. So Kentucky's hard, and we dealt with this same thing too, of like, should we sleep in the mornings and be rested for the evenings, or should we still hunt? And I always kind of come back to, we're here, like, I can sleep in a lot of mornings, might as well go after it. But it sounds like you guys, so we actually saw a pretty decent amount of deer in the mornings when we went versus the evenings, I felt like, but it sounds like maybe the opposite for you guys.
Yeah, so the morning hunt that we did do, we started off scouting in the morning for the first few days, and after finding a lot of sign and hunting the evenings, we were seeing some deer. It got down to the last few days of not killing anything or getting anything in range, so we started hunting the mornings, and that was doing no good either. So yeah, we were definitely seeing more deer during the evening than we were in the morning, for sure.
Were y'all seeing them more gravitated towards beans or corn, or were their acorns dropping? Where were y'all seeing, like, the majority of the deer? Because this is, like, not opener. Y'all weren't there opener week, so a lot of things change after that first week or week and a half that really does some things to the deer movement. I'm curious to know what you guys saw.
So from what I saw, I think most of the deer were still heading towards beans. Some of them were hitting some acorns, but it was mainly the beans is what I saw. I'm not sure what's in them.
Yeah, that's about the same thing. And I mean, Dallas and Blair, they actually glassed up really nice buck in the beans, just chewing there. But man, it was definitely difficult. Not an easy hunt. We thought it was going to turn around because they started to cut or harvest the corn and pick the corn. I'm not, but they start getting rid of that corn, and there was corn piles like this in the field. And so this Florida boy, you see a corn pile, you know, you're like, oh man, I'm setting up, you know, thinking those deer are going to be coming to that. So I'm setting up a ways away, thinking where they're going to travel to. And the next morning, the thing hasn't even been touched. I'm like, man, how is that even possible? So I don't know. Kentucky was a different animal. But, I mean, Grace and I, it was weird. I think we were probably on more deer than Caden, like, under our tree, which I thought was crazy.
Is that a flex?
But I probably... Yeah, I mean, I probably stunk so bad. I did the no shower challenge, and so I probably stunk so bad that I kind of scared off all the deer. Mm. There's a lot of opportunities, but every time just something would happen. I mean, I'm not going to expose anybody, but no, it was just a series of unfortunate events every night. But it was a really good learning lesson. That's what it was. It kind of got to humble us because we're over there, you know, here. And like the first day, dude that shot a 140, he's like, oh yeah, if y'all hunt for 2 or 3 days, you'll be killing one for. So we're going into it like, man, like we're confident. Like, were you confident, Kate?
I was pretty confident. When I heard we were going to Kentucky, I was like, yeah, I'm definitely shooting a buck. This is probably the second day.
We was kind of thinking that maybe the entire bus would tag out in Kentucky.
Yeah, we already planned it. So it was a very good, very good humbling experience. But, you know, saw some good deer. But, man, yeah, it was a ride.
I do think. Y'all did tag out on some Asian carp there, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Dude, I saw that. That was sweet.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. We caught one with our bare hands.
Yeah, we caught one with our bare hands while we were in Kentucky. It was pretty cool. It just flew into the boat with us.
I tell you, one of the hardest things you could ever do is blow gun fish for 1 foot gar.
Hey, Cole did
Let's
it,
go.
Man. Cole
did Let's go.
About an hour.
The non-southern man shot a gar with a blowgun.
Yeah, it was.
Hey, Tim Wells would be proud.
Well, there was a Tim Wells blowgun.
I locked him.
Hey, you daggums locked him.
Which I tell you what, I got my aim up by shooting minutes and like these little tiny baby quail back with it. And Grayson was another, there. We walked. Shooting these little quail back. I mean, when I say tiny, I'm talking like 3 inches.
Another flex.
Yeah.
Hey, 3 inches isn't that small. Come on, boys.
Yeah.
3 inches ain't that tiny.
Yeah.
Now he's a good swimmer.
I bet they were fast, weren't they? My God. Oh, man.
I was going to say earlier, though, Dad, on the cadence thing, is I feel like we did everything right except for the last 10% of like, honestly, like, me and Caden did see a couple bucks that, like, while we were out hunting in the evenings, but it was like we'd set up in the wrong tree, or maybe we set up in the wrong, even, like, drainage, or just something small would just keep you out of shooting range. I feel like that was the, you know, that last 10% is kind of what kept us from killing a deer. And I do another thing that I wish I would have thought of while we were doing it, but whenever the oaks first start hitting the ground, the deer don't like immediately flock to them because they have to build up their like gut bacteria to be able to digest that. So you'll see this in like late season. If you've ever seen deer, it's like real sloshy and like looks like diarrhea. It's because their gut bacteria is changing from eating, say they've been eating corn or bean or whatever, acorns, to now they're having to eat on woody browse. Whenever they're in that transition period from two different types of forage, you'll notice they have to change their gut bacteria before they go straight on. And what made me think about that was whenever we got here to Georgia, the guy whose property we're staying on, he had some feeders, and we was walking around talking with him, and he was like, he puts out this thing called buck muscle on this corn, and he was like, you can't put it all on there at first or they won't touch it. And then when he said that, I remember something, you know, that you deer won't like just immediately hop on to something new because they don't have the gut bacteria to digest it. So I do feel like we didn't focus as much on beans as we should have. And I felt like we hopped more on the thought process that the oaks were dropping, because we had seen oaks dropping and we was hitting that maybe a little more than we should have.
That is a reality of hunting farmland. Cole, I'm sure you get this, especially the places that you hunt. Spoonie, I'm sure, Caden. Dallas may have a little more experience with the farmland than everybody else, but Grayson, I don't know. Texas isn't typically covered in corn and beans from what I've seen in it.
No, I've never hunted ag in my life until Nebraska.
So, like, I hadn't either until the first year I hunted Kentucky. And it was very much it was a shock to me, especially early season. And every year I came back saying I needed to hunt the beans more. I had kind of the same experience you guys did. Like, why wasn't I hunting beans more and using that as a part of my process? So I can definitely see where you guys are coming from of, like, hindsight's 20/20. If you ever go back, hunt early season, you'll do it different, right? But man, I can tell you from what I've done in the past, there's always just that part of me that's like, man, but the woods look so good. There's big tracks in the woods, and it's tough.
Yeah,
100%. Caden was rut hunting him before.
And that's, hey, listen, I talked about it in last week. You remember this, Matt? I talked about it in the episode last week about, like, what kind of areas was I hunting. I was hunting rut funnels. And specifically because of, in my opinion, what I see happening is a lot of the pressure from squirrel hunters, dove hunters, and deer hunters funnels those deer back to that security area. And so those are going to be the same type places that are gonna be on fire during the rut. So, I mean, there is the one part of you that's like, man, I wish I would have done things a little bit different. Then there's the other part of you that's like, man, I don't know if I'm trying to think. I don't know if I know a single person that killed a buck in Kentucky. Like in that area that we were all hunting. I don't think I know. And I know a lot of people that were hunting it. And I don't think I know anybody that's killed one. So I say that to say, like, don't feel bad. Don't feel too terrible about it.
I mean, it's at the end of the day, we had a great time. We met some really cool people. Like, there's some guys in camp from Arkansas. Shout out to them if they're listening. And then from South Carolina, I believe.
Yeah.
Carolina.
South Carolina.
Just really good guys. And then Mr. Keith.
Keith Stires, yeah.
Great guy.
He was on a loan season 7, if anybody's wondering.
This man was on a loan. I mean, one, like, traditional archery, like, shoots flintlocks. He's the one that had the boat, and we went bow fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I saw that.
He is certified in the state of Kentucky. He's a badass.
Certified.
Check out Ramshackle Homestead and Survive.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool stuff.
Awesome guy. But,
a redneck with travel tattoos.
That's awesome. I actually did watch that season of Alone. I was telling Caden, I think yesterday, about it. Like, I didn't realize that this dude was the biologist out there, but I knew he lived around the area because I remember watching it on that season of Alone. So that's pretty cool. You guys got to hang out with him and meet him and stuff. So I want to know something. I want to know, just from each of you guys, we're kind of coming up on time, and we won't even maybe get into Georgia much. We kind of did already just a little bit. But I want to know, like, from each of y'all, y'all can just go around the table. What is the one unexpected thing that you've experienced on this season so far? Like, the one thing that you can think about is like, I did not expect that to happen. It can be good or bad, or, you know, neither, whatever you guys think it would be best. So I think we started with Dallas. So Dallas, why don't you just kick us off?
Expect to see a 1980 Bluebird bus tire blowout north of Nashville, doing 80 mile an hour down the interstate.
Almost kill a few.
Almost
people.
Killing two people.
Three people.
But
and on like for you're listening, we didn't make it seem that big on the video, but like in reality,
it was
like,
scary.
Me and Grayson was held onto each other like the scene when the Titanic's going down. Yeah. Thankfully, Grayson was sitting in front of me. We were up here, like, on the bench seat in the bus, like, right beside the driver's seat. And the driver's got a seatbelt. Me and Grayson don't have seatbelts. Mm. So Grayson was sitting in front of me. And thankfully, you know, it's got this giant windshield. I mean, it's big enough that, you know.
Both of y'all could get
through it. We usually could have both went out. If we'd have went. Like I told Grayson, he'd have been a quadriplegic, I'd have been a paraplegic. But he would have cushioned my fall just a little bit. It was scary.
Yeah, it. I mean.
But anyway, dude, you probably want something hunting related, right?
No, it don't matter. I mean, really, y'all are five guys living in a bus. Like, we can talk about hunting a little bit, but the bus is kind of the main. She's the star of the show, man.
So I didn't expect that. I also didn't expect to, like, click so well with a bunch of 19 and 20 year olds when I'm 26.
Oh, thanks, Dad.
Papa D. So I want to know, like, you guys are, y'all are all in there together. Like, are y'all looking at this as like a competition, or are you looking at it as just an experience, or is there kind of both?
I want to touch on that because you say competition. But then Greg said in the video that we all watched, it was like kind of a secretive thing of you want to be the one to complete the challenges and so on and so on. But he wouldn't say why.
Yeah, he won't tell us why either.
Yeah.
Well, Oh, shoot.
It ain't the show. We don't want, like, to ruin the brotherhood aspect.
Yeah.
Like, you can have a little bit, you know, competition and competitiveness in there, but at the end of the day, like, we're not trying to drive each other to where we're trying to be like, oh, I want to beat you. Like, if at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's a great attitude.
I mean, it'll be sweet, but I ain't going for that.
Yeah, that's coming from the guy who already killed a 150 on the hunt. So he's like, I mean, we're not really competitive at all.
He's like, daggum, I shot 3-inch menace. I just shoot 150-inch buck. And what else is everybody else doing?
No,
all y'all got seed ticks growing on the bus.
Yeah. We're trying to keep it as fun and, like, not – it's like trying not to make it a job.
Yeah.
Like, we're trying not to – where we feel like our whatever depends on whether or not you're the best hunter on the bus. Because, like, I don't feel like really any of us is better than anyone. We're all at such a young age that really our, I would say, qualifications in the outdoor realm has all been on where we've grown up and who we've known. Like, very much in the learning at like, points of our lives. Like, I feel like I've learned something from everybody on this bus so far that I had no clue about before we are on this bus.
That's awesome.
That's great, man.
That's awesome. Was that yours, Cole? I think you were second. Was that the unexpected thing for you?
Unexpected thing for me, I will definitely say, unexpected thing for me. Here, I'm trying to think of the good. Obviously, like, I didn't expect that we're all going to, like, just click so well together so fast. And I also did not expect that the first deer we'd kill would be that size. Like, I even said in the video, that hunt that evening, I figured me and Dallas was going to smoke a doe. That's what I was going in there after. So, yeah. Like,
if that buck when it came out from eating the most behind that shrub, he might have smoked that doe.
Oh, yeah. I had a doe. So, when that buck came up, there were three deer. We got to see what two of them was, and we didn't get to see a third one. Third one sounded like a big, big old deer. We didn't know what it was.
It's probably a 180.
It's probably, like he said, probably a good booner or something.
something that would keep the haters a little more died down on the YouTube comments. but the other two deer bumped that buck I shot up through the only like little shooting lane I had. Like I said, this stand had been there a while. There was really only like one actual shooting lane up there, and the deer never even got near it. I shot that deer through like treetops ish. Like it was like a little bit of clearing, but like there was some sticks that very easily Jesus took the wheel of that arrow. I will say that. The only thing that killed that deer and kept me safe.
Well, we've all had that.
One more thing, just to clarify so we can move on about this hunt, is maybe the video didn't like show it, but it was private ground that we had stopped a farmer that was in his cornfield to ask if we could hunt it, and he gave us permission on. That is why there were set stands that he gave us permission to hunt.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a lease. It wasn't us going on public land and stealing somebody's stand to sit in. It was something we went out and worked for and gained access to this piece of ground.
And it's not like this stand was all dolled up and whatever. Yeah. It was literally grown into the tree. Like
you didn't have your bow hanger already screwed in, ready to go, with your tether already hung? So,
you look in the video, I'd hung my bow off of a limb that had been broken off.
Now, I loved it in that video when y'all called the landowner after y'all got him. It was like 11 o'clock at night. Woke him up.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, that was just great.
Just excited.
Yeah, so Greg, you hear him in the video go say, you probably woke him up. Well, actually, he was going catfishing.
Yeah,
he was out the entire night and came after he got done catfishing. He came to the campsite at like, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning to come see the deer.
That's awesome.
Shout out to Mr. Albers out there. If you're hearing this, you're one hell of a man, and he's really been like the hospitality and the help that he gave us there in Nebraska is, I mean, to me, it's unmatched from anything I've ever seen in the outdoor realm. Like, he really went above and beyond.
That's awesome. So, that's really cool to hear.
Anyway.
Up in Nebraska, where was we at? Now it's Grayson's turn.
Yeah, so, well, I will say, you know, coming from Northeast Texas, I'm gonna be honest. This tour was my first time hunting public land. You know, I've grown up private land hunting, hunting. Sorry, we're having some air conditioning issues. We turned off the AC and it's a steel bus and it's 95 degrees outside. Anyway, hunting primarily over cornfields and stuff, you know, just doing habitat management at our private property and stuff. Not necessarily going out on like the public land grind. I've never done that in my life, and I expected it was going to be hard, but I did not expect it was going to be as hard as it actually was. I will say, I have quickly developed a new love for this type of hunting. It's totally different from what I'm used to. There in the beginning, it was tough. We were putting on miles and it was hot in Nebraska and there was bugs and everything. You know, like being able to hunt, being the hunter here again in Georgia has really been like super cool. And I really feel like I've kind of hit my stride. I've picked up more than I could ever imagine I would pick up in these 3 weeks from all these guys who are a lot more experienced in this kind of stuff than I am.
Don't even say that.
Well,
you killed more big bucks than anybody on the bus.
Okay, well, I don't know about
let's
that.
Let's
but
try to put that out there.
Anyway, I've picked up a crap ton of knowledge from these guys, and I'm definitely really enjoying this type of hunting, and I'm hooked for life. So, that was super unexpected, but I couldn't have wished for anything better from this first few weeks of this sport.
That's cool to hear, man. I feel where you're coming from, because I was raised the same way of like, this is the way the hunting culture in Texas is. Just, it's so stinking different. Not just public land, private land, just hunting in general is just different. So, that's cool. And when you look at it, you've hunted for 3 weeks straight, basically. And for a lot of people, as far as like number of days, that's like a full year of experience of hunting that you've got to do for most people's schedule. And most guys are hunting Saturday and Sunday, maybe just Saturday, not a lot of days a week. And so you're getting that full experience, dude. And I think it's going to be cool to watch, because I didn't know that about you. I didn't know that you hadn't done the public land thing before. So it's going to be really cool with that knowledge to now watch how you progress throughout the season. And I'm glad you said that. I think a lot of listeners are going to enjoy watching that progression through your stuff. So go ahead.
No, that was all. Yeah, just for sure. Yeah, I'm super excited for that. If anyone, you know, if I can help anyone out there that relates to me, you know, that I won't call it a struggle, but just that experience, that's super cool. So, yeah, I'm super stoked about that.
Fantastic. I don't even know who's next.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, Caden, I'm kind of with the other guys. The buck tire blown out. That was super unexpected. I got to watch from behind, thankfully, in the truck. I didn't have to be on the bus for that. That was kind of scary to watch. And then another super unexpected thing, again, was the, it's already been said, but the buck freaking stud coal shot.
That was a team effort there, buddy. That was very much not one person.
I'm pretty sure everybody felt that was unexpected to such a big deer to die on the first deer of the tour. I guess something new would be boys that don't use permethrin. That C-Tech deal was all on them. Cause I told them, I sprayed all my stuff down and was like, I need to put permethrin on. And they're like, yeah, I think we're good. And then they're covered in hundreds of ticks.
We was just trying to avoid having cancer or like some kind of crazy wild, like Roundup related illness later on in life.
Or potentially growing.
Yeah. I was just about to say, you chance that, but then it's like you could possibly never eat red meat for the rest of your life.
Yeah. No, it's not you can't eat it. You just ain't going to enjoy it afterwards.
Yeah. See, ticks suck. So they specifically suck between your legs. I'm telling you, I don't know if you guys had to deal with that, but when you get a sea tick down there, or 47 of them, it is a... It's a rough time, and I don't want to hear about you guys, like, getting them off each other either, if that's where y'all are going.
We look like the chimpanzees at the zoo.
Yeah, it's like the Brad Paisley song. I'd sure like to check you for ticks.
After 3 weeks in a bus with a bunch of dudes, that might be an exciting time.
Oh, yeah, no, honestly.
He said the testosterone was pretty high.
Dude, there's so many different directions to go here that I feel like we probably shouldn't go to down any of these trails. But yes, use permethrin. Permethrin is a good thing. It is from the Lord. So,
All right. Final one. You know, I'd say the most one of the most unexpected things for me was being camp host first. It kind of worked out pretty good just with my positioning on hunting. But man, I'm not sure if y'all have tried it, but sitting in a bus with nothing to do and no vehicle for 2 weeks, it's real old, real fast in Nebraska. There's not much to do in Nebraska. So,
hey, you crushed those burpees, though, didn't you? Burpees and pull-ups, was it?
Yes, sir. Yep. I got to do a lot of running. I got to do a lot of exercises and finish that challenge. So that was pretty fun. And I found the river right next to us, so I got to do some catfishing, set some set lines there, and got to have a little fish fry. But do some of that. But that was definitely kind of driving me nuts for that long, because these boys are out, you know, they're hunting and I'm sitting back and having to hear the stories and be like, man, I want to get my boots dirty, like, let's go, let's do it. So that was definitely hard. And I'd say the other thing, and I had another thing, but well, now I forgot it, doggone it.
We'll give you a pass. You've been grinding hard for 3 weeks. We'll give you a pass on this
one. I'll probably remember it later tonight, and I'll be aggravated. But I'm actually going to flip the script on y'all, and I got a question for y'all. So what do y'all, as the viewers, what do you want to see from us? Do you want to see more camp life? Do you want to see more fights? Should we get boxing gloves? Like, as a viewer, what would you like to see?
Yes.
We're taking bets on who would win, because let's go ahead and start betting.
Yeah, we would all enjoy seeing more fights. I think that would make things a little more entertaining. But, man, Matt, what do you think? You got anything that you just haven't gotten to see?
I guess we could talk, you know, I feel like y'all's personal relationships with your camera guy and your hunter is a pretty intense. Y'all have done a good job of showing that, kind of talking and kind of relating on, hey, what should we do here and there. I guess I would want to see more, like, talk about the setup you're in. Like, in that, once you get to your setup, kind of explain why you were there, and from even like hunting back home, like, hey, I hunt at home because of this, and I'm relating that to this area because of this kind of deal. I think that would be something cool to see, of why you're hunting that certain area. Not just because you saw a deer there scouting, but like, if there's a ditch or a creek crossing or something along those aspects.
Gotcha.
I think to that point, this is new for me, because I don't know, Grayson, if you said it before, and I just didn't hear it in a video previously. I really would like to see that progression as a public land hunter. I would like to see that in more detail now that I know that that's the case. So Grayson, like, with what Matt's talking about, I would like to see you doing what he's saying, and then watch how you change your mindset throughout the season. I think that would be a really cool aspect to see. And, first off, I think it's pretty dope that you are pretty forthcoming about it, because most people in this day and age of YouTube and podcasting, and it's easier to create content than ever before, and a lot of people can see it. Everybody kind of wants to act like the expert, and I think it's cool to see people that are like, I'm not, but I'm learning, and kind of watch how that progression goes. So that is definitely one thing that I would like to see more of. And then also, I know we were just joking about the drama, but I would like to see more of y'all's, like, interactions on the bus, like, just sitting around, you know, and kind of how you guys are breaking down your day and hearing the things that y'all are learning from state to state. I think that would be something that I'd like to see.
Yeah, like a conversation of who's going where and kind of deal. And then also, like, I know y'all have a truck, so you can move. So you can go into, like, hey, me and Hunter 1 and Hunter and Cameraman 1 are going in the truck, and how y'all are getting around. That would also be pretty cool to see.
I would love to see that bus parked in the parking spot of a WMA. Just once.
Hey, no.
It takes a considerable amount of time and effort to move this bus. So I will, I don't know, this shouldn't be spoiling anything, but I will say, when we went back through Tennessee, we were fortunate enough to be able to pick up my truck, because we learned in our first two states that having one truck, and that's your only vehicle with two hunters, and a camp host that needs to do stuff, like a camp host will need to go get Wi-Fi or upload videos or something, it's challenging. So we do actually now have two trucks with us at all times, which is just, that has been so nice.
That's good.
Georgia video.
Back to driving the bus, being that I'm 26, I'm the only hunter that's eligible to be on the insurance because I'm old enough. And our bus driver flew home to see his family for the week, so this bus is not going anywhere until he flies back in, because I don't really want to drive.
So I remembered that second part. One of the things that really surprised me on this trip is, and Cole mentioned it, was the hospitality. We met some really great people, like literal strangers, and they'll either see the bus or they'll just see the truck, or they'll see us and just start talking to us, and they're like, hey, man, We love what you're doing. Like, we wish we could do that. Like, how can we help you? And just connections in a place where you don't have anybody that you know. Like, for instance, here, we don't have showers here. So we got connected with somebody that has access to showers. And it's like, not that big of a deal, but it's really, really cool getting to see the connections and the bonds that are made just through something as simple as hunting. Like, hunting, but at the end of the day, you know, it's a bond that brings us all together. So that was one of the really cool things that I've seen. But told you I'd remember.
Heck yeah. That's awesome.
So I don't even think this is anything you could do better. I just think it's a good reminder, just kind of encouraging to you guys, especially after watching the first video and just keeping up with everything. I mean, I think because nobody knows what's going on behind the scenes, really. Nobody really knows everything that you guys go through unless you're there. But I would just say I'm reminded of Jonathan Moreland. He holds a state record for the longbow kill in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. That dude is just as real as it gets, and you see that. And I was just gonna let you guys know too, people love when people are transparent. People love when people are open and honest about things. And so just letting people see like that side of whether that's a failure, whether that's success, whether that's like Parker was saying, disagreements between you guys as buddies, whatever that is, just being as real as you can be and not being afraid of what people are saying about that. And I think you guys, like each of you are there for a reason. So each person is going to have different personality. Each person is going to have different thing to bring to the table. So everybody wants to see that, including myself.
For sure.
Gotcha. Well, we appreciate the feedback. We obviously we can't get it from the next video, but we'll be working on that and trying to implement that for y'all. Because yeah, we're here to
a lot of transparency.
Yeah, there's gonna be some.
Transparent.
Yeah, we appreciate
it. Transparent to a fault. Would you say?
I sometimes said there's a lot of transparency, Georgia. I feel like I'm pretty honest. Oh. I mean.
That's awesome.
There's nothing like the moment where you realize you're not as good as you thought you were. And it happens. I feel like it happens to me every single year where I'm like, man, I was so confident. I really thought I knew what I was doing. And I don't.
It'll happen again for us this year.
Yeah. I'm like, next time I deer hunt, I'll be like,
that's like every year.
Worst deer hunter in the world. Oh man. Well, guys, again, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking with us. I know everybody's going to really enjoy this conversation, and it is considerably late. I mean, I feel bad for the guy who's hunting with Caden tomorrow, because apparently he likes to get up early and it's pretty late right now. So you guys need to get your beauty rest, go out and kill a good buck tomorrow. That's what I want to see.
Or big fat doe.
Yeah.
That's, hey, dude. If I shoot a big out of fawn, I am going to be ecstatic. If I shoot a buck, great.
I know about being excited about some does. Man, those.
What's that?
I know what it's like to be excited about some does. I do love that. Oh, that is. You know what? I take it back. If I had to tell you to do one thing different, shoot more does. That's what I want to see. I want to see you guys just wear out the doe population.
Well, lucky for you, in Georgia, we have get 10 does and 2 bucks.
We just got to do 10 does.
Yeah.
And 2 bucks.
Yeah, or have them not blow at us. But yeah, you'll get that. Don't worry.
Heck yeah. Well, guys, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for inviting us. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Yeah, thanks.
Hey, guys, thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Southern Ground Hunting Podcast. And as always, a big shout out to all of our partners. That's Go Wild, Tethered, Spartan Forge, and 6 Day Grind Coffee Company. You can keep up with Southern Ground Hunting by following us on Facebook or Instagram, or subscribing to the YouTube channel. And you can be sure to check us out at southerngroundhunting.com to pick up some of our merch, read some blog articles, and all that good stuff. I truly hope you enjoyed this week's episode, and we'll see you here again next week. Remember that God gave you dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and the beasts of the earth. So go out and exercise that dominion. We will talk to you next week.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.